Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Memches. We're beginning on Memches Omer Aleph. We had discussed the new Perek by Matt Tominim. We began the Mishnah yesterday. We started talking about some of the halachos of insulating on Shabbos. And we talked about how something that is Mosif Hevel, something that adds heat, is not allowed to insulate even on Erev Shabbos. And something that is not Mosif Hevel, it just maintains the heat, that is allowed to insulate with under certain situations. So we begin the Gemara on the second line, on Memches Omer Aleph, with the story. Rabba the Rav Zeira, these two great Amoraim, Rabba and Rav Zeira. The Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different gears over here, but we'll keep our gears over here, Rabba and Rav Zeira. Iklu lebei Reish Gilusa. They went to the Reish Gilusa's house. The Reish Gilusa was the secular head, often a Talmud Chacham, but often not. And he was the secular head of the community. He was the askin for the community, and he had a certain status with the government. It wasn't just a Jewish position. This was a religious as well as secular government position. In any event, they went to the Reish Gilusa's house, and Chazua Lahu Avda, they saw one of the servants over there of the Reish Gilusa. The Reish Gilusa was a chosh of a person. He had lots of servants. And they saw one of the servants, the Anach Kuza Demaya. He had a jug of water, and he placed it Apuma de Kum Kuma. Kum Kuma, Rashi explains over here, is like an urn, a mecham, and it had hot water in it. And this Kuza, this jug of water, Rashi says, Hayusum Leyatzonate. So he put a jug of cold water on top of the urn of hot water. And Naze Rabba. Rabba was very upset at this. Rashi says, Garba. He gave him a glower. He told him, you're not allowed to do that. What you're doing is wrong. So that's what Rabba said. Rav Zeira was wondering, why? Amalei Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says to Rabba, Mai shna mi mecham agabi mecham. How come this is different than a situation where you can put hot water on top of hot water? As Rashi explains, we're going to learn in the Braisa at the end of the parak that it's permissible to take a hot water urn and place it, its water's hot, and place it on top of another hot water urn in order to go and maintain the heat. So you're allowed to do that. So why can't you put a cold jug on top of the hot water urn? That's the question that Rav Zeira asked Rabba. Why are you so upset at this Eved that he did this? So Rabba answers Rav Zeira, Amalei, Hasam Ukme Komokim. As Rashi explains over here, all you're doing in this situation, Hamecham Ha'elyon Gam Bo Yesh Mayim Chamim. It also has hot water in it. Va'atachton Eino Elamamid Chomo. The bottom one is just maintaining the heat of the top one. Shlo Yofig, that it shouldn't get cold. So when you're putting the hot urn on top of the hot urn, you're maintaining the heat. That's allowed. Hacha, but the case with the Eved over here, he put a cold jug of water on top of a hot water urn. Hacha olude komolid. He's adding heat over here, and that you're not allowed to do. So that's the first story. Hoder chazya de paras dastudar apume de kuba. They subsequently saw another servant, loved Afrika, the same servant, they saw that another servant, or that same servant came, and he placed a dastudar. Rashi says a dastudar is a suda sharosh. It's a kerchief, a head kerchief, some sort of a scarf that they put on over here on top of this kuba. Rashi explains the kuba is a kankan, and he put it on top of this jug of water, this barrel of water over here. So he placed his scarf on top of it, and then the anach natlo ilave, and then he placed some sort of a natlo, Rashi says a klisha shor. This would be some sort of a ladle that you go and take wine out from the kuba, and he placed it on top of this kerchief that he had over the barrel top over here. In this situation, the concern was that maybe this natla is going to weigh down the sudar, it's going to weigh down the kerchief and get it wet. And therefore, Naze Rabba. Rabba, again, got very upset at this. Garba. He told him, what you're doing is wrong. He said, this is incorrect. Again, Rav Zeira says, what's so wrong? Amalei Rav Zeira, am I? What is wrong? So the action that this servant did didn't seem to be any isser. So Amalei. So Rabba tells back to Rav Zeira, just wait and see. Hashta chazis. You'll see why I was so upset at this servant. Lesov, what happened? Chazio de kol ma'atzolei. Ultimately, the sudar, this is dastudar over here, did get wet. The ladle that was placed on it did weigh it down, and it touched the water. And what does the servant do? He was ma'atzole, Rashi explains. Shohaya sochato, he squeezed it out. Minamayim shenivlu bo. The waters that got absorbed over here, he wanted this kerchief to be dry because he also wanted to use it in the stomach. And therefore, he pressed out, he squeezed out, he did schita on it, which of course is an issa d'oraisa. Many of the mafarshim say that Rabbah didn't just stand idly by watching him do this issa, is that he was about to do this issa of squeezing it out, and Rabbah told him, no, you must stop. But that's why Rabbah didn't want him to do it in the first place, to place this ladle on top of this dastudar that would get wet because of the weight of the ladle. Amalei, he says, Rav Zeira says to Rabbah, great, I see, very good, I see what you did over here. However, Maishna mi parvanka, why is this any different than a parvanka? Rashi explains that a parvanka is a beged, a osi lefros alakigis, this is a special cloth, a garment that you specifically put on top of the barrels, sheparsin also b'Shabbos, and they would use it over here on Shabbos to spread out over the barrels. So that was its purpose. It wasn't a scarf, but its purpose was to keep the barrels from getting schmutz inside of them. So how come we allowed to do that? Why didn't you let him put the dastudar on top? So Amalei says, a big difference. Rav Zeira, you're wrong. Rabbi says, there's a difference over here between the parvanka and the dastudar. Hasam, in regards to the parvanka, lo kopidi lave. Nobody cares if it gets wet. That's its job. It's to cover up. You just don't want schmutz to go in there, and that's why you're keeping the barrel covered up. And therefore, lo kopidi lave. Nobody's going to be upset if it gets wet, and nobody's going to come and squeeze it out because it got wet. They're not going to be upset. Hacha, with the dastudar, kopidi lave. He doesn't want it to get wet. He wants to be able to put it back on and wear it as a scarf later in the day. Therefore, if it gets wet, he's going to come to squeeze it out. That's the difference between the two. Then we go back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we said that you're not allowed to use tevin. Tevin is one of those items that under certain situations, when it's moist, we said, when it's lachin, it can be most of hevel. But tevin, as opposed to the first series of things in the Mishnah, tevin, if it's not moist, if it's yuvation, it will not be most of hevel and is allowed. So, boy, mine, Rav Adar bar Masna me'abayit. Rav Adar bar Masna is following shaila from abayit. Muchin. Yesterday we said that muchin or any type of soft thing, like pieces of cotton, pieces of wool, tufts of wool, all of these are called muchin. Any soft item is called a moch. So he asked the question, these muchin, shetoman behen, you use them for insulation, so mahu letaltalon b'Shabbos. Are they muktza on Shabbos or not? Normally the muchin are used for making garments, and normally would have a status of being muktza. But now you're using it for a permissible purpose, to insulate, to do hatamana, and in a way where they're not moist, so then they are permitted to go do hatmana on them. So do we say that once you've done the hatmana, okay, now they're muktza again? Or do we say, no, since you did the hatmana with them, they're not muktza? That's the question that Rashi brings down in Dibra Maskul Muchin. He says, enen el lasos mehen levadim. Normally, these tufts of wool are going to be made into felt. Levadim is something called Shekhorin Felter. Umuktzin hem, and normally they're muktzim l'malacha, and you're not allowed to use them on Shabbos. But also l'tiltalan, and since they're muktzim, you're not allowed to move them. However, these ve'elusha toman behen, use these for insulation. Do we say mi'aminun yichad only atmana? They're now designated for atmana, and therefore v'ika toris kli aleihem umutul taltulon b'Shabbos, and therefore they're now like any utensil, and you're allowed to go and move them on Shabbos. Or do we say no, lo, that they still retain their status as being specifically used for felt, and therefore they are muktza? That's the question that Rav Adar bar Masna asks from Abayi. Amalei Abayi answers him, v'chi mipnei she'ein lo kupa shel tevin, omed umafkir kupa shel mochin. He says, because this person didn't happen to have some straw handy, straw would be the normal thing that they would go and do hatmona with. It's much more cheap, it's less expensive, you're not going to ruin it. But this poor guy didn't have any tevin around, so therefore he's throwing away his kupa shel mochin and using it for hatmona like it's not going to be used eventually for felt. No, it's still going to be used eventually for felt. As Rashi says, this kupa shel mochin shedomel yikarin. This is very expensive stuff. Ein derech bekach v'lo botle lahatmona. Even though he's using it right now for hatmona, it's not like he wants to continue to use this for hatmona purposes, and therefore it is in fact still muktza. So the Gemara says, Lema Masayle, let us bring a raya to Abaye's point of view from the following. The Gemara in Bava Basra. Tomnim begizet semer. It says you're allowed to insulate there with gizet semer. Rashi says gizet semer is the wool when it's sheared right from the animal. Ubetzipe semer. Rashi says the tzipe semer means after they were already cleaned and spun a little bit. La'acha shenivtsuva the shatchua kemin machzolos mishtichin. They made it into some sort of a mat. So these are the tzipe semer. They're already woven to a certain extent. And likewise, the Lushonu Shalagomon, you're allowed to use these Lushonu Shalagomon, Rashi says, this is after they've been colored already, and they've been combed. La'acha shetzova and visarkin, O son, ke'en lushonos aruchin l'tavosa. So they make them into these big pieces of material over here that now can be spun. Ubimuchin, and likewise, this muchin. In all of these situations, the Gemara in Bava Basra said, ain metaltin osam. You're allowed to use them for atmana, but it seems to say you're not allowed to go be metal to them. So this seems to be exactly what Abaye said in response to Rav Adar Bamasa's question. No, the various items over here, the mochen that you use for hatmana, are still muktzah. Even though you use them for hatmana, you did the Erev Shabbos, but on Shabbos they're muktzah, you're not allowed to move them. Ein metal no son. Therefore, this is a raya exactly to what Abaye said in his response to Rav Adar Bamasa. Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. Imi shumha lo irya. If this was the only proof, then you wouldn't have any raya. Because Hachi Kamar, this is how you have to understand the Gemara in Bava Basra. It's a two-part statement, Rashi says over here. There's two separate statements. Im lo toman bahen ein metalten osan. But if you didn't use them for hatmana, the first statement was you're allowed to be doing hatmana with them, with the Yizizemer, the Sipet Zemer, the Shom Shalakoman, and the Muchen. And if you use them for hatmana, they're not muktzah. But then you read the second part. Im lo toman bahen, if you didn't use them for hatmana, ein metalten osan, then they are muktzah. Where it says, okay, that's a very good teretz, but ihachi, my lememra. So then what's the chiddush over here? Obviously, if they're not muchan, then of course they're muktza. So where it says, no, ma'al detema, I might have said that all of these items over here, the gizei tzemer, the tzipei tzemer, the lashon shalagoman, and the muchin, could be used for something else. Chazi lemizga alayu. They could be used for sitting on. They're comfortable. They're cushions. And maybe if I don't have a nice cushion, I'll go sit on this. So therefore, it's not mukta. So Kamash will know that the default position of these things are, is that they are mukta. So we don't say that they could be used as a cushion. The only time you'd be allowed to use them was if you were mezamin them, if you were miyached them, if you designated them, i.e., if you use them for hatmana, so then they're not mukta. Now, once we have a din regarding this muchin over here, so then we'll continue having additional dinim about the muchin. Rav Chisda Shara, Rav Chisda permitted one, lahadure, to return udra, others have the girsa udida, which means notza, the girsa of the aruch on the side, it means the feathers, so you're allowed to return the stuffing of a pillow, lebei saja, back into the pillow. As Rashi says, lahachzir mochin shenaflu min hakar l'sochan. You can take the fluffy stuff, the feathers, the filling of the pillow that came out, you're allowed to return it on Shabbos. That's Rav Chisda Psak. We don't consider it muktza. You're allowed to go and return it inside. Bishabbat, on Shabbos. If it comes out on Shabbos, you can put the fluff back inside. So Gemara says, Eisve, Rav Chanan Bar Chisda, Rav Chisda. Rav Chanan Bar Chisda says to Rav Chisda, wait a second. We have another brisa that says, Matirin Beis HaTzavor B'Shabbos. You're allowed to go and open up a Beis Tzavor. Rashi says, Shederach HaKovsim L'Koshuan. That they would go and tie the opening of your cloak, of your garment, they would tie the opening together, and therefore you'd be allowed to open this up on Shabbos. Avalo poskin, but you're not allowed to do it L'Chatchila. Rashi says, L'Chatchila, the Hashta of Limona. You can't go and cut out the part that allows you to slip your head through the cloak, that you can't do on Shabbos. So to untie a special tie that they made to that the Kovsim would go and do over here, that you're allowed to go and undo. But to lechatchila, go and make the opening, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, that's not for our din right now. But now, the ein nosin is hamochin, lo l'soch hakar, v'lo l'soch hakeses. It says, beferis, that you're not allowed to go put the stuffing, the fluff, the feathers back into the pillow. Lo l'socha kar, lo l'socha keses. You can't put them back into your pillow, and you can't put them back into your cover. Kar and keses, like the pillow and cover. So you're not allowed to do this b'yontiv. It says you can't do this on yontiv, and certainly v'ein tzorach lomar b'shabbos. So kash over here, Rav Chisda, you said you're allowed to go and return it. So Rav Chanan Bar Chisda brings down this brisa and says you're not allowed to return it. So you're an amora, Rav Chisda. How can you go against the brisa? Where it says the obvious teretz, lo kasha. It's an easy teretz over here. Ha b'chadeti, ha b'yatike. It depends. Doing it the first time, mechadeti, means brand new. The tuf and the shin are interchangeable. Like shkolim and taklin. So mechadeti means bechadosh, with a brand new one. Shalom yomiyolim, that it wasn't made beforehand. So you're not allowed to go make a pillow on Shabbos. You can't take the sheet and go stuff it for the first time on Shabbos. However, batike, where it was already stuffed previously, and all you want to do, Rashi says, lahachziru lekar, says shenoflu menu, to go and take the contents that spilled out from it and put them back, that you're allowed to do. So Rav Chisda was saying, lahadure, you're allowed to return the stuffing, the fluff, the feathers back inside the pillow or the cover. And the Brice is telling us you can't do it lechatchila in the first place. You can't create such a pillow on Shabbos or Yontif. And the Brice supports this in understanding. Tani Nami Hochi. Ein nosin es hamochin lo letochakar. You're not allowed to go put the fluff into the pillow, v'lo letochakes, or into the cover on Yontif. Ein tzorach lomar b'Shabbos. And you certainly can't do it on Shabbos if you can't do it on Yontif. However, the Braisa says with Farish, Nashu, if it fell out, if the fluff came out on Shabbos or Yontif, you're allowed to return it even on Shabbos. And certainly you can do it on Shabbos, you can do it on Yontif as well. Oh, that's the Tani Kavatse. You have the Braisa that says exactly the way we understood Rav Chista in his response to Rav Chanan Bar Chista. The marketing engine says, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rab. Now we go back to the Braisa that we just brought down before. I said the first part we weren't using right now. We needed it for the second part, but now we'll discuss the first part. So we had said, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rab, HaPoseach Beis HaTzavor B'Shabbos Chayv Chatas. If somebody, in fact, opens up the collar and makes, so to say, in the garment, he makes a hole in the garment so you can slip your head through the cloak and slip your head through the smock, the garment over here, then that's an Issud Daraisa Chayv Chatas. As Rashi says, the hashta komash v'leimana. You're making it into a shirt now. You're making it into a wearable cloak. The chayv mishum makar b'patish. This is called finishing off that utensil. Makar b'patish. That's the haynu gemar melacha. And that's an issa daraisa to go and make this shirt, to finish off this shirt by making the hole that you can stick your head in. B'pseach b'eset savar. That's an issa daraisa. Fine. That's what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav explains the braisa we had previously. Maskev Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked, we turn to the Amud Beis. Ma ben zu lemagufas chavitz. Wait a second. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, as Rashi brings down in Perek Chavish and Yishbra on Daf Kuf Mem Vav, that we're going to learn over there that maybe Adam Chavis, you're allowed to open up, bring a barrel on Shabbos, umeitiz is rosho, and cut off the top of the barrel, besayif with a sword, umeinichel de'achem, and give your guests wine to drink from this barrel. Now, you're allowed to go chop off this magufa, this covering. Why are you not allowed to go over here in our situation and open up, chop off, so to say, the opening of the cloak and make yourself a shirt? What is the difference between the barrel that you're allowed to do this and the top of the shirt that you're not allowed to open it up? That's the question that he asks. Amalei Rava's Rava responds, he says, Zeh chibur ve'eino chibur. Says, in regards to the shirt, it's all one piece of garment. When you're cutting it, you're cutting literally the garment up and you're doing the makir b'patish, the final step on it, and you're making it into a shirt. That's why you're not allowed to do it. That's an issa d'oraisa. But the magufa, the covering, Rashi explains, ain't a menachah v'satzmo. It's not part of the barrel. It's attached to the barrel with alpha bisha dvuka bo. They sealed it in, but ain't a choshev chibur. It's not considered an intrinsic part of the barrel. Shahari linotel omedis. It's supposed to be taken off. That's its purpose. But the beged, when you wove the beged, kishinerag kulo chibur, that's one piece. And therefore, when you cut the beged, you're cutting something, and that's makir b'patish. The barrel, albeit it was attached, the barrel covered to the barrel, it's never part of the barrel. And that's the answer the Rava gives. It's the difference between chibur by the shirt, v'ze'enu chibur, the magufa on top of the barrel. Ramila, Rav Yirmiya, Rav Zera. Rav Yirmiya asks Rav Zera the following shaila. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Uktzin. Now, the girsa that we have in our Mishnah in Uktzin is different than the girsa that the Gemara brings down over here. And on the side, Rashi doesn't have this girsa as well. And the Aruch brings down that this is the right way to read the girsa. Shalal shel kofsin. You have a, Rashi says, a series of connected garments. Darkum lishlol habegodim zemzeh. They would tie the garments together. The people who were doing the laundry, they would take the small garments, they would tie all the socks together, kadesh lo yovdu, that they shouldn't get lost in the laundry, right? They're putting it into a river, they're putting it into some sort of a pool, and the little socks are going to get lost. So they would tie the little socks together with the big garments, and that's this shalal, this chain, this connected string of garments. Now, the next words that we have is shalshela shel maftechos. They would also do the same thing with a chain over here of keys, but that's not the girsa that we have in Uktzin. Rashi doesn't bring this down over here. And on the side, the girsa of the Aruch also says that the next words should just skip shalshel shel maftechos and just read v'habeged shutofor b'kilayim. They would go and sew together some garments with kilayim. So they would take woolen garments and they would take a linen thread and sew these garments together. So all of these shlolim, all of these chains over here, either the chains that the smaller garments were connected to the larger garments so they shouldn't get lost in the wash, or they would just keep all the shirts together over here. It made it easy for them to wash them, and they would tie them together with kilayim. So this tie that they made, this chibur, is a good chibur l'tumah. What does that mean? That if, in fact, one of these shirts became tameh, all the other shirts would be connected to it. Just like if you touch the sleeve of a shirt, the whole shirt becomes tameh. So through this connection, this shalal, this chain, this string that's attaching all the different shirts together, all the different garments or pieces of clothing together, makes it into a connection in regards to tumah. and it stays that way until you start to go and untie it. As soon as you start to untie it, now they're considered separate garments. And if you touch garment A with an avatuma, so garment A is tummy, but garment B is not tummy. Garment B is touching garment A, so a kli cannot be metame another kli. You need to have an avatum over here to be metame. So a rishon can't be metame yesheni by a kli, only an avatum can. So if A and B are considered one garment, and so then the avatum, the sheretz that touches A, is considered halachli if it's mechubar, as if it's touching B at the same time. But if it's starting to be untied, shiasru lahatir, so now A and B are no longer connected together. So if the sheretz touches A, only A becomes tame, and albeit A is touching B, a kli cannot be metame another kli as a vlad hatumah. Only an avatumah can be metame adam and kalim. Therefore, what do we see? Alma shelo b'shas melacha nami chibur. Even though it's not during the shas melacha, it's not at the time that they're actually doing the cleaning over here. Nevertheless, it's still considered mechubar until you start to untie it. Okay, so that's the statement that we see over here from this Mishnah in Uktzin. But now we're going to contrast that, Uriminu, it says elsewhere, and this is Mishnah in Kalim, Makel Sh'oso Yad L'Kordom. A person is making a handle. A Makel over here is a stick that he's using as a handle, as a Yad L'Kordom. L'Kordom is an axe. So now, in this situation, it's attached together. So you have your sharp axe part, and you put a handle onto it. This makel, the stick you put on it over here, it's considered attached. Now, it is chibur l'tumah, it is considered connected, so if you're metame the axe handle, you're also metame the axe. Or if you're metame the axe, you're also metame the handle. It's considered the chibur in regards to tumah. It's one entity, and therefore, if you touch the tumah, the dead sheretz, let's say, to any part of it, the whole device, the handle and the axe, become tameh. But this is only bishas melacha. It says there only at the time that you're chopping it. So bishas melacha in, shelo bishas melacha lo, only while you're actually using it is it considered one entity. The minute you stop using it, it's no longer considered one entity. But we just said that this shalo shel kovsin, or the beget shutofer bikilayim, we said it's considered one entity even after you're done with the washing it, until you start to untie it, it's still considered one entity. So how come in regards to the axe, it's only considered an entity, a single entity in regards to tumah, while it's actually being worked with, but as soon as you stop, it's no longer a single entity, as opposed to the shalosh shakovsin, it's still considered an entity until you actually start to untie it. So that's the question. That's the contrast over here between the Mishnah in Uktzin and the Mishnah in Kalim. So we answer, Amalei. So the Gemara says, Chosom shalo b'shas melacha. In regards to the axe over here, when you're not doing the melacha, so in this situation, shalo b'shas melacha, adam osui lezork levein etzim. You take this handle off and you throw it amongst the rest of the wood. You put it back with the rest of the pieces of wood. It loses its functionality the minute you stop chopping the wood. And therefore, it's no longer considered chibur except during the Shas Melacha. However, with the Shalosh Shokovsin or the Beget Shutofa Bikilayim, Hocha, Shalo B'Shas Melacha, even after you've finished washing it, Nami Nichale, you don't want it detached right away. As opposed to the axe and the handle, you want it detached right away. But here, you don't want that string of garments detached. Why? Because let's say it gets dirty. The midnifu. If it were to get dirty, you're going to go and clean it right again. So you want it to be attached until you're absolutely certain that you no longer are going to clean it. When you're starting to untie it to give out back to the person or to put it on, so then at that moment it's no longer considered chibur. But up until that moment, you may still want it to be chibur, so the chibur qualification, so to say, stays intact. And it's instead of one garment, even though there's multiple garments over there, because you want the string there, as opposed to the axe handle. The minute you're done chopping, you don't want the axe handle over there. Marketing says, Besura, Masrullah, Shmaisa, Mishmeh Rav Chisda. In Surah, they learn the following Shmaisa in the name of Rav Chisda. And in Pumbedisa, Masrullah, Mishmeh Rav Kahana. In Pumbedisa, they learn the name of Kahana. And others say, Ramaleh, Mishmeh Rav. Now, what is that? Montana, who is the author, who's the Tana of HaMilsa, the Amar Rabbanon, who's the author of this statement that we just brought down, that Kol HaMechuber Lo Harehu Kamo. If something is physically attached over here, we halachically view it as if it's one entity, even though normally it would be item A and item B, and if you're Matami item A, it can't be Matami item B, because you need an Avatumati Makali, Metami Adam Kalim, and this is not an Avatoma over here, it's item A, which is a Kali, being Metami item B, which you can't do. However, if they're attached, call them a Chubar, then we consider item A and B as one entity, and if you touch the Sheretz A, it also is Metami B. Who is the author of this statement? So, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says, Rav Meir hi. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Where do we find this? Another Mishnah in Caleb, did not. Beis HaPach, a Beis HaPach, Rashi explains over here, is Kira, you had an oven, tell us, it's a portable, movable oven, and they would attach various small earthenware utensils to the oven, and a Beis HaPach, for example, is Shemoshivim Misochin Shemen Lahavshir. They would put oil inside of it in order to get it to be lukewarm. It wouldn't be cold. They wanted it to get lukewarm by attaching it to the kira, to the oven. So this Beis HaPach, which was for oil, or Beis HaTavlin, which was a similar type of an earthenware attachment to the kira that they would put spices in, or Beis HaNer Shebekira, or a lamp that they would have in the kira over here, all of these, mitamin b'maga, if you touched either the kira or any of these attachments with the sheretz, let's say, so the entire thing would become tamei, not only the Beis HaPach, but the kira itself. Or if you touched the kira, not only would the kira become tamei, but also the Beis HaPach would become tamei. However, v'ein mitamin b'avir, divrei Rav Meir. There's a special rule by kli cheretz, by earthenware utensils, that even if you don't touch the actual wall or the bottom of the utensil, the going into the airspace of the utensil makes them tamei. So if you just bring a dead sheretz into the airspace of the kira becomes tamei. But here, only the kira would become tamei, but not the Beis HaPach, the Beis HaTavlin, or the Beis HaNer. So in regards to maga, if you touch the actual sides of the kira, the bottom of the kira, so then the Beis HaPach would become tamei, and vice versa. If you touch the actual bottom of the Beis HaPach, the Beis HaTavlin, the Beis HaNer, the kira would also become tamei, but if you just brought it into the airspace, even though by earthenware utensils, the airspace is enough to be mitamei it, you would not be mitamei the other items as well. That's the statement of Rav Meir. We'll have to explain how come there's a difference between maga and avir, because in halacha there is no difference between touching the avir and the maga of the actual utensil. So why does Rav Meir say there's a difference over here? We'll explain that in a few moments. But clearly you see over here that Rav Meir holds that they're considered attached. There's the chibur over here between the Beis HaPach and the kira, the Beis HaTavlin, the Beis HaNer, and the kira, and therefore Rav Meir is the opinion that says that they're mechubar, they are considered attached. Rav Shimon Matar. Rav Shimon disagrees with Rav Meir and says, no, if you touch one, only that one is tameh, but the rest of the geshaft over here, the Beis HaPach, would not be tameh if you just touched the kira. Now, Bishlomo Rav Shimon makes very good sense. Kesavar lav kikira damu. He says this din of mechuber doesn't apply. It's A and B. It's two separate entities. If you're matami A, it can't be matami B from A. It has to be matami only from the avatum itself. So the sheretz is matami A, has to touch B in order to be matami B. There is no chibur, according to Rav Shimon, between A and B. Very simple, very straightforward. Not by maga, not by avir. El Rav Meir, we have a problem with Meir Shita. Ik Kira Domu, if he's saying that the Beis HaPach, the Beis HaTav, the Beis HaNer are exactly like the Kira, so then why is it only for Maga? Afilu Ba'avir, Nami Litmu. They should also be able to be Matame, but just if you Matame the Avir of the Kira, it should be Matame the Pach, the Tavlin, and the Beis HaNer as well. If you're Matame the Avir of the Beis HaPach, the Beis HaTav, the Beis HaNer, it should be Matame the Kira as well. Ilab Kikira Domu. Oh, you can say it's not Mechuber, then Afilu Ba'Maga, Nami Litmu. So then why should Maga work? Again, the question on Rav Meir, we understand he holds chibur. That's why we brought this down. But how come he only holds chibur by maga, but he doesn't hold chibur by avir? That's the question. Shmuel says, Li'olam lav kikira damu. In fact, they're not considered mechubar on a daraisa level. And the Beis HaPach, the Beis HaTavlin, the Beis HaNer are not halachically daraisa connected to the kira, that if the kira were to become tame, that they would become tame as well. No, they're separate utensils on a daraisa level. There is no chibur over here on a daraisa level. And if the sheretz touches A, so it doesn't make B tame, because it's not considered as having touched B. They're not mechubar. However, that's daraisa. Rav Meir says, Rabbanan hu degazru behu. The rabbis came along and made exer over here, that if they're connected on a derabbanan level, we're going to make them tamei, even though on a deraisa level they're not. Now, igazru behu, if they made a gezeira, so then how come they only made it for maga? Afilu ba'avir nami litnu. Why did they make the gezeira also by the avir? Why did they only make it in regards to maga? So here we have the famous explanation of the bu rabbanan hekeira. The rabbis, when they instituted rabbinical tumah, they often would go and make additional restrictions or gzeiros over here that you would have a hecker, that you would know the difference between a daraisa and a rabbanon. As Rashi says, the lo avdu lehu kikira mamish, they didn't make it 100% mid rabbanon like the kira mamish, which would be metame not only with maga but also with the avir. Why? Ki heche de leidu shechibu midivreihem. So this, they would, people would understand that this is a tumah derabbanon below lisrof al tumason truma v'kachim. This brings us to a very important din we've discussed many times. Truma and kachim, when they become tame, must be burnt. We don't leave them around because it could lead to a takola. But that's only if they're mechuyev to be burnt midaraisa. Midirabbanan, if they're tame, so midaraisa, they're technically still good. And you're never allowed to go and destroy truma or kachim. So you have a quandary over here. On a deraisa level, they're still good. Albeit on the rabbanan level, they're not. So what do? In this situation, we tolin. We leave them in abeyance until they spoil naturally, and then you can throw them away. So the rabbis needed to make over here a heker. Avdu rabbanan hekera. So they wanted to show people that there's a difference over here between this din derabbanon, that the Beis HaPach, the Beis HaTav, and Beis HaNer are going to be tameh, they're considered chibur, when the sheretz touches the kira, it also is metamidem, but only midirabbanon. So they said, we'll only make it for maga, but we won't make it over here for avir. And that's why midirabbanon, they made this distinction. Similarly, Tana Rabbanon, we have a brisa that says the same idea. Masporis oprokim. You have a scissors. A scissors is a pair of blades that are connected. So you have these pair of blades that are connected, or the izemo shor rihitani. You have over here the sharp part of a plane that's attached to the handle of the plane. So this is chibul l'tumah. They're considered, when they're connected over here, to be one entity. So if the sheretz touches one of the blades, the other blade's also tameh. If it touches the izemo, the rihatni is also tameh. However, vein chibul l'hazor. But in regards to spritzing on them, let's say they came tameh with tumas meis, so then you have to do hazah on them with the mechatas on the third day and the seventh day, and then bring it to the mikvah on the conclusion of the seventh day, so then they're not considered to be mechuber in regards to hazah. So if you sprinkled only on one of the blades, that's not going to make the other blade over here tar. You have to sprinkle on both of them separately. So again, manavshach, we have the same question that we had before in regards to the kira. If we're saying ichiburhu, if we're saying that they're one entity over here, so then if they're one entity in regards to tumah, there should be one entity in regards to tahara. Afilu lazor nami. Oh, and if you tell me ilav chiburhu, you want to tell me no, they're not one entity. So then they're not one entity for azar. So then afilu tumah nami lo. Then they shouldn't be one entity in regards to tumah. And if you touch the blade one, you shouldn't be metame blade number two. So it works both ways. The same thing. Either you should, if you metame blade A, so then blade B is also considered mechubar, and it's tameh, so then if you sprinkle on blade A, it should also be metar blade B, even if no sprinkling went on blade B, and vice versa. So how come that's not true? So we get the same terrace as we gave before. Amarava, Dibir Torah Bishas Melacha. The Torah is telling us over here that this din applies only while you're working with them. When the blades are connected over here, either the plane is connected or the two scissor parts are connected, so then Bishas Melacha, they're technically considered chibur. And this would apply Bein L'tumah, Bein L'hazah. They would be connected in regards to every aspect over here. In regards to tumah, if you touched blade A, so then blade B would also become tameh, even though you didn't touch blade B with the sheretz. And if you sprinkled, it was tumis meis, and you sprinkled on day three, and you only sprinkled on blade A, so blade B would also become tar with the mei chatos hazah. But when they're not being used together, so then ain't no chibur, then they're not considered connected, neither lo l'tumma, lo l'hazah. If they're not being used right then, so then if the sheretz touches blade A, blade B is not tummy. If you sprinkle the hazah, the nechatas, on blade A, so blade B doesn't become tar. It's for neither of them. So then what happens over here? That's on the derais level. The gazur rabbanon al tumo shelo b'shas melacha mishum tumo shebishas melacha. Since this then only applies in regards to shas melacha, but the rabbis were concerned that people will not know the difference over here, and therefore they made a gzera that even when it's not shas melacha, if blade A becomes tameh, blade B, which is attached but not b'shas melacha, also becomes tameh. And they did the same thing with hazah. Al hazah shebishas melacha mishum hazah shelo b'shas melacha. So the hazah works on blade A over here when they're actually b'shas melacha, but the rabbi said we're going to make a zero over here that we're not going to let it work when that's not b'shas melacha. So the rabbis went l'chumra here in both situations. So they didn't allow the fact that it was not b'shas melacha to say that blade B is not tameh, and they didn't allow even b'shas melacha to say that blade B became tar with the hazah. They made you do the specifically hazah on both blade A and blade B. blade B. As Rashi says over here, we're doing this concept of chibra over here, we're doing it l'chumra in both situations. Let's go up to the Mishnah, we'll finish off till there. Bisman Shein Lachatz, we said in the Mishnah that the second group of items that we allowed hatmana for, we only said that they're allowed to be used for hatmana when they're dry. But when they're moist, so then they are most of hevel and they can't be used. So they asked the question, Yibaylu, and the Beis Medrash asked the question, Lachin machmas atzman, odilmo lachman machmas dover acher. When we said that they have to be moist in order to be most of hevel, was it their own intrinsic natural moisture, or was it an extrinsic? You put some water on it, that also is considered over here that it's most of hevel, it's lachin in that respect. So where it says, I'll bring your raya, toshma, from the following brisa. Lo b'tevin, you're not allowed to go insulate with tevin, with straw. Lo b'zogim, the zogim we said, we explained in the Mishnah, was the psolus yekiv shoyayin, the pulp left over, the residue from the crushed grapes. Lo b'muchin, all these soft, tough, fluffy material. Lo b'asavim, and not with grasses. Bisman shem lachem, we said when they're moist. Now, what type of moisture do they have that you can't go and insulate with them? They're mosif hevel. Iyamris bishloma lachin, if you're telling me machmas dover acher, if it's moisture that came from someplace else, shapra, I can understand that. Well, each of these could become wet. Elo iyamris lachin machmas atzma, if you're telling me that they're moist from their own doing, from their own intrinsic moisture, so muchin lachin machmas atzma hechemish kachesla. How would you have these tufts of wool, how do they get intrinsically wet from themselves? They're sheared from the animal. How do they get moistened from themselves? So where it says, no, the mimarta debeni atme. We're talking about they were plucked. That's why Rashi says we specifically use the word plucking, because you don't shear these moist areas, you pluck them. And this is between the thighs, debeni atme. So they had natural moisture from the sweat of the animal. So that's where the natural moisture could be. And we can't bring me a raya over here that these things can be moistened from someplace else and be mosif hevel. Maybe they're only intrinsically moist, that's when they're mosif hevel. But if they bring external moisture, they wouldn't be mosif hevel. The Gemara says, Rav Hoshaya says you're allowed to go and insulate with a dry garment, with peiros yevashim, and dry fruits, but not with a moist garment, and not with moist fruits. So how does a garment have intrinsic moisture on its own? So that seems to be saying that it's external moisture that we're talking about. So Gemara says, no, the same teretz, memarta, we plucked it over here, the beni atme. This garment was made from wool that was plucked from between the thighs of the animal, and it has a natural sweat there. It's moist over there. It actually says, mole zeya, it's full of sweat, fulach miatzmo, and it's moist on its own. And therefore, that's why Rashi says, l'hochi kar l'marta, that's why we plucked it over here, the lav bagizu, it's not a normal place that you would go shear. And therefore, the same teretz is given over here. It could be internal moisture, intrinsic moisture, and therefore, we don't have a teretz over here to the question that they ask in the base medrash, is it lach machin? We left over here with the boy, the lo pshita lei. With this, we conclude today's shiur.